to start off our program today, 11 months ago, the Lansing Board of Water and Light came under intense criticism for its response to a historic power outage just days before Christmas. The incident sparked a detailed, independent review of the agency's procedures. Now, the Lansing Board of Water and Light has acted on another recommendation contained in that report by the so-called Community Review Team, and it has named Lansing Assistant Fire Chief Trent Atkins as its first ever Emergency Operations Manager. Yesterday, BWL General Manager Peter Lark praised Atkins' experience while reaffirming the utility's improvements.
We think that we are on strong ground anyway with respect to the electric aspect, but what we needed really was somebody who can handle emergency management, and I think that's Trent Atkins. I'm very confident that he's the right person.
And joining us now to talk about Atkins' appointment and other topics related to the city-owned utility is Lansing Board of Water and Light Commissioner Dennis Lowney. Dennis, welcome back to Current State.
Hi, Mark. Good morning to everyone, and thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Can you explain what Trent Atkins will be doing exactly? What is his role in the Board of Water and Light moving forward?
Well, really, Trent's going to play a key role for us, and I'm very excited to have him on board. His role really is to examine the operations at the Board of Water and Light and to see any emergency situations that could arise. So in one sense, he's going to be planning for any emergencies that could happen. How the Board of Water and Light can better respond, but not just respond to their customers, but to coordinate our services with the city and the region, so that our response isn't just from the Board of Water and Light, that it's a collective response throughout the community. And his experience in those areas, I think, is just going to be invaluable to the Board of Water and Light.
BWL General Manager Peter Lark suggested in his introduction here that we just heard the utility was looking for more of an expert in incident management than in power generation. Can you explain why that was a priority?
Well, I think the ice storm was a good example of that. While we had our expertise, and I say that from the staff and the employees at the Board of Water and Light, while it has to do with utility, power, and water, and the commodities that are provided, the expertise is not that coordination of emergency planning. And to get hit by a storm of the magnitude that we got hit with last year, I think with changing weather patterns and the way we will be moving forward with our current weather conditions, that we needed someone who had a good handle on what other resources are out there. So while Trent may be a little deficient in utility information, we have expertise in that, and his expertise is going to be invaluable in making sure that 911 is aware of what the Board of Water and Light is doing and where they can refer people to, that we're coordinating services with the fire department, that if there is a certain area of the city that may be out of power, that we are making sure that we have the right resources that can get to our customers and make it available to them. And I think that's a strength that we did not have. And now that he's on board, it really, I think, raises our level as a utility to being a better utility.
Voters in Lansing today are deciding whether to allow the mayor more powers over the BWL in the event of an emergency. How important is this, and do you support that move?
I think it's an important a measure that's on the ballot. I do support it. I went to the polls this morning and I did vote in favor of it. This was a recommendation from the CRT recommendations that were put out when they studied what some of the issues were that occurred during the ice storm and some of our deficiencies. And the reason for that is the mayor has a handle on a lot of different things happening throughout the city. And during the ice storm, and I touched on this a little bit with my discussion on Trent Atkins, the utility is focused on trying to get the power back. But there's other things that occur. There's other people that could be harmed. And so the mayor has access to all city resources, and that's not something that the utility has. And the way I see this playing out, now that Trent is in place, Trent will be able to survey the situation, give us an honest explanation of what our situation is, and then what the recommendations are going forward. And then he can take that to the mayor, and the mayor, if he needs to bring in the police or the fire to help on certain services, the mayor has that ability to do that. And without this proposal, that would not exist.
We're talking with Board of Water and Light Commissioner Dennis Lowney here about a number of BWL issues. First and foremost, the appointment yesterday of Trent Atkins as the utility's first ever emergency operations manager. Dennis, this appointment had been anticipated for some number of months, and some people were beginning to wonder about the delay. Was this a harder search than the BWL expected? Why the delay?
Well, my understanding is, and I want to be clear, too, that the Board of Commissioners does not make decisions on day-to-day personnel. This is a decision that goes through the process in our Human Resources Department, and then management interviews the best candidates and makes that decision. That being said...
Did the commissioners vet the appointment, though?
We did not.
You did not. This was strictly...
Yep, it was strictly a management decision, and we're very supportive. If you look at Trent's qualifications, I could not see another candidate in this area that would have been as qualified. But going back to why the delay on his announcement, I know when we first began the search, the general manager had informed the Board of Commissioners that they wanted to search for the best people in this area. And part of the reason being, you want someone in emergency situations who knows the way things operate, not only on the surface, but grassroots, and what happens underneath when push comes to shove. And so how the relationships are throughout the community was extremely important in this choice. On top of that, you want someone who has the experience in emergency planning. And certainly Trent meets all these qualifications. And the way it was explained to the board was that we had an outstanding candidate. He had some things that he had to finish up, and the Board of Water and Light really wanted this person. And now that we come to find out it was Trent Atkins, I think it was well worth the wait in that sense that we didn't just choose someone because we wanted to get the position filled. We chose the best person for this area for the Board of Water and Light, and I think the fit is really perfect.
And you're saying you simply had to wait for him because of unfinished business with the city?
Correct.
Okay. A rate hike that was approved a few months ago just took effect for BWL customers on Saturday. How have BWL customers responded to this? Have there been repercussions?
I have not heard repercussions. I did hear a couple things from neighbors. As you know, I did vote against that rate increase while I felt there was a need and there was a good case made by the general manager, and the rest of the board did agree with that. I felt that we had done some recent polling, and about 40% of the people had indicated that they were aware of some of the changes that had occurred at the Board of Water and Light since the ice storm. And when I saw that information, I was concerned that here we were approaching customers saying, we need to increase your rates, but they weren't aware of some of the things that we had done, some of the changes that do cost money in implementing some of the changes so we could be storm-hardened. And I think that's, being a public utility, that's part of our duty to properly educate our customers, our utility holders, our shareholders, if you look at it, as to why we're raising rates. And I think it was deserved, but I think we needed to do a better job educating them, and that's really why I voted against it.
Mm. I understand the BWL is still getting complaints from some East Lansing customers about tree cutting that the utility is doing. What do you know about that?
My understanding is there are still some residents in the Glen Cairn, Oak Hill neighborhood who have signs up in their yards asking that no trees be cut in their yard, that they didn't want Board of Water and Light employees coming onto their yard, that there was an illegal easement The way it was explained to me by our legal counsel is that there is a subdivision easement that was granted to the Board of Water and Light for us to maintain the lines, and because of that, we are able to go in and tree trim. I was at one of the initial discussions with the neighborhood group, and my feeling and my sense from the residents were that they really just wanted to talk to the tree trimmers and to really have a feel for what they were going to do and talk to them and see if they could maybe not cut it as extreme as some of it was done. And I have to commend our management. After this issue came up and we had several public meetings, we brought in a new tree trimming crew, and this was from, I believe, out of state, and their name escapes me at this time, but an entirely different crew that we worked with them to really have that customer service aspect. And the feedback we got from the residents was that while they weren't entirely happy their trees were being cut, they felt much more satisfied because people talked to them, they were able to have input into the process, there was a dialogue that existed that wasn't there before. And I think that's important. Again, these are the people that are helping to support the Board of Water and Light. These are our customers, and we need to listen to them.
Dennis Lowney is a commissioner for the Lansing Board of Water and Light. You're listening to Current State on WKAR. Dennis, there's an ongoing issue involving coal scrubbing technology at the BWL's Eckert Power Plant, which includes several coal-fired boilers. Earlier this year, the Sierra Club urged the utility to stop burning coal altogether. What more can you tell us about this, and where does it stand right now?
Well, as it stands right now, the EPA had been planning to issue regulations that would have restricted the amount of mercury and other pollutants that were going that could be released by coal-fired plants. Those regulations were delayed, but in planning for that, this was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Obviously, we keep track of that to make sure that we are legally complying with federal laws and regulations. In planning for that, the Board of Water and Light invested in technology and infrastructure. You can call them scrubbers, but I know there's much more to it than that, that would help reduce mercury emissions at our Eckert plant. And when the EPA delayed implementing those regulations and those laws, the Board of Water and Light chose not to turn on that technology and those scrubbers because there was an additional cost that would have to be passed on to the ratepayers.
Did you agree with that decision?
Well, I understand in one sense that we were complying with the law. There was no violation of the law. But I think being responsible, if we had equipment that was installed and it could help our public health in this area, that we needed to have more of a discussion on that. And we actually are going to be discussing that at our next Committee of the Whole meeting in November. And in discussions recently, both myself and the chair and other members with the general manager, he has indicated that those scrubbers will be turned on. So we expect them to be turned on either in November or December. And I think it's important, too, to consider that while the Eckert plant does run and does have mercury emissions that come out and are pollutants, our new cogeneration plant, which was the first plant in Michigan in 25 years to be built and first plant for the Board of Water and Light in 40 years, that plant severely reduced the amount of pollutants that were put out. And if I can just give you some quick numbers here.
Make it quick, please. We're near the end.
Okay. The cogeneration plant slashes greenhouse gas emissions by 50%, eliminates the need to burn 351,000 tons of coal, lowers mercury and SO2, sulfur dioxide emissions, by over 99%, and oxides of nitrogen by over 85%. So the Eckert plant only, while it's got six generators, it only has two that run at times that they're needed.
The whole discussion involving the burning of coal is absolutely huge on this landscape. We want to have you back again real soon and talk a little bit more about this. We're out of time right now, but we want to thank Dennis Lowney, member of the Board of Commissioners for the Lansing Board of Water and Light. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great day, and make sure everyone gets out and votes.
Thank you.
Bye.